The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin woman engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by the angel's words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his dominion there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child will be born, will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, I want to wish you all a happy, merry Sunday. Yes, every year, the lectionary cycle, and if you don't know what the lectionary cycle is, that's okay. You can ask me later or come to Bible study. Celebrates Mary. Happy Mary Sunday, and for good reason, I think. Mary is a vital part to the Christmas story and inspires the church in many ways. But for us, I'll acknowledge, for us Protestants, perhaps focusing on Mary, the mother of Jesus, can be just a little bit uncomfortable. I remember I was doing a Bible study at my contextual ed congregation in San Francisco, and when we were done, one of the members came up to me and said, "You know, why are we spending so much time talking about Mary? Shouldn't we just talk about Jesus? Focusing on Mary is what Catholics do." And it's true, our Catholic brothers and sisters do spend, I think, more time lifting up Mary, perhaps most famously in the Rosary prayer, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus." And now, while it is true that the Lutheran and Catholic churches have different theologies when it comes to Mary, we Lutherans don't stress very much the Immaculate Conception or blameless nature of Mary, so she would be able to birth a blameless child in Jesus. We don't, in the Lutheran Church, really stress much the virginity of Mary, even as much as Catholics do. And if you ask me, with great respect to our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, I'm glad that we Lutherans don't stress those things personally. But here's the thing. I think Sundays such as this one, Mary Sunday, have become and often turned into an opportunity to bash our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, and not enough of respecting Mary as a crucial part of the overall Christian tradition. Yes, maybe we disagree with Catholics on some things and how they regard Mary, but let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, shall we say? In fact, I think our Roman Catholic friends are onto something very important, something maybe that we in the Protestant tradition have lost. So in good faith, I am going to lead the charge and campaign this morning for Lutherans. This is going to be our Reclaiming Mary Sunday. Who's with me? Yes. All right. Perfect. Excellent. So, what does it mean for Mary to show us faith, and what do we need to reclaim? Well, let me address first the elephant in the room whenever we talk about Mary, and that is sex. The church, throughout almost its entire history, seems to always get infatuated with Mary and sex. Maybe it's the fact that we picture her as this young, beautiful girl, or the romantic scenes of her and Joseph in the manger, I have no idea. But we seem to again and again and again and again get sidetracked on Mary and her sex or virginity. Now let me just say, this young girl giving birth to this child of God is a miracle. But is this really the miracle that Luke, the Gospel of Luke, underscores as Mary participating in? And I would say no. If that's all we get, then I think we have completely misread this gospel and misread this story of Christmas. Mary's role in this story is to show us how to be a disciple and how to radically rely on the divine, especially when we don't know how it's all going to turn out. I remember sitting in a hospital meeting room when I was chaplain for a doctor's consultation visit with a patient named Maggie in Minnesota. Maggie was in her late 70s and had recently had a pretty major heart attack. And the doctor was going through and describing the heart surgery that they were going to do to her. And it was a complicated surgery. A lot of things could go wrong, and the doctor was more or less saying all of the things that could go wrong in the surgery. And in the middle of the doctor's explanation, I remember Maggie closed her eyes for like a long time. Like her eyes were like closed for 15 minutes while the doctor was like talking. And I finally had to say, like, Maggie, are you okay? And she opened her eyes and she said, yeah, I'm okay. I'm just practicing leaning a little bit on God right now. And then she turns her head to the doctor and she says, so doctor, if you could finish up, I'd appreciate it. My leaning on God needs a little practice before the surgery. And this, like, crazy of all surgeons, you know, was absolutely flabbergasted by these words. And finally, just didn't know what to say, and finally just left the room. And I'm happy to report that Maggie did get through the surgery and recover fully. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. This is Mary, leaning radically into God's promise. Let me also make a point here on Mary's choice of words. I don't see this as a blind leaning, right? I don't see this as Mary saying, yeah, I'm the little faithful one, and I'll do whatever you want, oh God. In fact, if you back up a few verses of this story, but Mary was much perplexed by the angel's words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Well, actually, the translation of Mary as much perplexed, I think, is super lame. It actually means, the Greek means disturbed, stirred up, or greatly confused. So Mary was actually like, what the bleep is going on here? That's what she was really like. Mary, I think, is actually quite human here. She's fearful and distressed. She's uneasy. Yet she leans into God. So this conclusion isn't really, I don't think, a joyful one from her, but one of focus, one of commitment. Okay, God, I'm going to lean into this crazy thing, and you better come with me. And then Mary shows us another type of leaning when in the next chapter she goes and visits Elizabeth. This is, I think, leaning on others. Notice that Mary was probably in need of some great comfort after that angel visited her, and Elizabeth became her rock. "Blessed are you," Elizabeth says, "among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Mary's response to this, it's not in our text today, but her response is the Magnificat, what we sang during in place of the psalm. An incredible and radical piece of language that expresses a deep and abounding joy. Mary needed Elizabeth, no doubt. Leaning on God and on community. The building blocks of faith, if you think about it. So simple and yet so hard. This is when we witness, I think, that famous statement that we've all heard: they showed their true colors. Mary shows her true colors in the midst of a chaotic, a tumultuous, and a scary time. And it is Mary that is able to show a commitment and a trust that, believe it or not, not even Jesus' male disciples could. It is a revelation of what faith in action, I think, truly means. Which gets me to another point that I want to touch on briefly because I think it's really important. You know, we live in a time now of great transition ourselves, especially when it comes to women standing up for respect, for dignity, and for fair opportunities. I'm sure many of you have heard of the Me Too movement that's going around. This movement, the Me Too movement, has swelled into many aspects of our entertainment, our politics, our workplaces, and it has highlighted the damage that can be done when our culture sweeps sexual harassment and abuse under the rug. So perhaps this story of Mary then sticks out a little bit more to me this time round when I read it, because of this recent movement, as it shows some traditional power dynamics between what has traditionally been thought of as a masculine God with a female character. The challenge that I have found in reading this is, it doesn't seem that God is asking, but telling Mary here. For God says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." So what power does Mary have here? What if she had said, "No thanks, God. I'm out of here." You know, this is a very, I think, uncomfortable in some ways, because maybe for many of us, we might ask, is this Mary's Me Too moment with God? Now, I also want to be very clear here. I think it is dangerous to read our 21st century perspectives entirely into a first century text. Luke, while writing this gospel and this story, was not thinking about women speaking out in public or on social media against their abusers. Period. He just wasn't. So we can't then, in reading this story, either fully accuse or fully exonerate. It's somewhere in between. So where does it fall? Well, I don't have all the answers, but here's some thoughts. Here again, I think, is where it ties back to Mary, radically modeling for us a leaning into her faith and revealing of God's nature. The revealing, of course, of God's nature continues throughout many, many, many stories of the New Testament and of the Old Testament. And so it is in this context, then, that this story happens within all of these stories that we have in our Scripture. So in this context, is it really the God that Mary knows and the God that we know who would just see Mary as a way to an end? Is it the God that is revealed in these texts whose nature would be just to say, well, Mary, I'm just going to use you as a vessel for birthing, and that's it? No, that's ridiculous. That's not the God that I know. That's not the God that I don't think Luke is proclaiming. That's not the God that this church professes faith in. Nor do I believe that it is the God that Mary places such trust and devotion in. As our psalm for today, we didn't read it, but it is Psalm 89. And the first verse goes, I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever with my mouth, and I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. I want to reclaim Mary this Sunday because she inspires and connects me to a God who is faithful and loving for all people, not just some. And may that Mary, the one who leans radically into God, bring you courage and hope as you too may struggle to lean forward in these uncertain times. Amen.